All right, so hey everybody, this is Pastor Darren sitting here with Pastor Mike.
Hello.
And we're going to do a Sunday sermon recap. So if you want a copy of Mike's notes and outline from Sunday, you can text 817-482-6626. So we're in a series called Living Hope. That's kind of the overall.
Yep.
Called Living Hope, and we're walking through the book of Luke, a really short series that
we've been in. Yeah, we thought we, a couple weeks. Yeah.
And here we are a year later.
Yeah, we've been in it since last August, so over a year. And the initial intention was to be finished by Easter and try to do the resurrection on Easter in Luke. And
how's that working out for you?
Yeah, not good. Yeah, not good. So we got into it and realized once I started outlining it that to do it well, it was going to take a year and a half. So the goal now is hopefully be doing the resurrection at the end of Luke on Easter of this year. But I think it's been good. We alternate where we go through books of the Bible and then we do a topical series. And the longest, we really usually do it about 8 weeks or so. We do our books of the Bible. The longest one before this one was about 6 months. We took going through the Gospel of John. I think we did Mark.
Song of Solomon?
We did Song of Solomon last year. Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a long one too, wasn't it?
I think that was about 8 weeks. Ecclesiastes was about 3 months.
Oh, that was the longer one.
Yeah, we did Ecclesiastes, then we did Advent because we did that right before Christmas, and then we opened up the year with Song of Solomon. And that was really weird. Church really grew during that time period. It's interesting how that worked out. But anyway.
All from you, your family.
Yeah. Well, living it out, my friend. Living it out. You're going to get me in trouble, Katie. That was not my. That's all Darren. So Gospel of Luke, Living Hope, and been in about a year. And we are on chapter 4. We'll be on this upcoming week. We'll be on chapter 15. So a little bit over halfway.
Yeah, so this past week, chapter 14, we looked at verses 25 through 34. And the overall theme of that passage was all about discipleship and the cost of following Jesus. And just not being part of the crowd, just listening to Jesus, but actually being doers of the word. Not just hearing what he's saying, but doers of the word. So in preparing this message and teaching it to the church this past Sunday, what was something you gleaned out of studying and preparing to preach this message?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a hard one. The first thing really was that idea of Jesus is not trying to, I think we hear this pastor, we think Jesus is trying to, thin the crowd, and we hear that because it's kind of a hard teaching. You think, okay, he's trying to lose some people, get rid of some people, and that is a result of what happens, I think, when Jesus calls us to something deeper just naturally. But I don't think he's doing that because he's trying to get rid of people. I think it's because he loves us and he wants to take us deeper and into a life that's transformed, a life that's more meaningful, a life that is ultimately a life that knows God deeply. And you're not going to understand that if you're just in the crowd. You're not going to understand that unless you are allowing him to be at work in you. And I think one thing I really personally thought about a lot was the idea of, there's three kind of things that Jesus says there. One is you've got to love him above all things. You've got to carry your cross, which is dying to sin. But the third one is one that, we know those first two. Even if we don't live them out, we know those first two. The third one where he says you have to renounce all possessions and is basically that idea of, which we talked about, was that we are not owners of everything we have. We are stewards of everything we have. And I don't think that's something that we think about a lot, or I don't think about a lot. And we hear that. So to go back, that was something that, as I was studying, was really...
It sounds good as a Christian. Those are things we say. It's like, I'm just a steward over it. We say that a lot, but do we really mean it?
Absolutely. And understand the full grasp of that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that in my own life. And everything I preach, stand up on that stage and teach, it goes through me first. And God's talking to me, too, about it. And so just think about that process of stewardship versus ownership. And a lot of times when we think about that, we're thinking about money, right? Which is true. Like God calls us to tithe and give 10%, all those things. So that's where we naturally go to when we think about stewardship. But I was processing that. But even more than that, I was thinking of stewardship of everything I have. So what are things that I call mine that I don't own, but I'm a steward of? And I thought a lot about my wife, Katie. You know, she's my wife, but actually she is. We're married, but I don't own her. She's a daughter of the Most High King. And in our marriage, my job of being a steward of her is loving her well, serving her well, trusting God with her. I think about my kids. Those are my kids, but they are God's kids. You know, he's the one that created them and designed them and is trusting, you know, entrusting to me to be their father. And so I thought a lot about that and being a good steward of my children, meaning trusting the Lord with them, trusting him to lead them and not holding on to them so tightly that if he calls them to something or leads them to something that I'm saying, nope, God, you can't do that. They're mine. You know, he's like, no, they're mine. I'm letting you, you know, you get to be their father, but they're my yeah. kids. And so thought a lot about stewarding that. Think about so stewarding my family, not thinking of something I own, but something that God has entrusted me with to love and serve and be obedient to him with. And that's open-handed. It's, to me, it's easier to be open-handed with my money than it is to be open-handed with my family. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's not that they're both easy, but it's easier for me to say, God, I can give you my 10%, but don't do that with my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. So that was something I thought about, wrestled with a lot, even mentioned the story about Abraham and God calling him to obedience with his son and how hard that would be. That was kind of the main thing that I wrestled with, you know, thinking stewardship of not just possessions, but people that, you know, that we, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from a pastoral standpoint, these types of passages, like you were saying, this is my last Sunday here.
Yeah.
Because those
yeah.
are tough yeah. passages because yeah. not everyone wants to hear that. They want to hear all the fun and all the God's going to bless you type stuff. Yeah. But giving up something,
yeah,
that's tough to do. So from a pastoral mm-hmm. standpoint, is it tough to teach a passage like this, mm-hmm. knowing that you may offend some people? Or some, in the case of Jesus, you know, the crowds got thinner and thinner, mm-hmm. you know, when he's asking for more and more of him or yeah. of you to take from him. So is, from a pastoral standpoint, is that tough to teach these passages of scripture? Because it seems like it would be easier. I could just talk about, oh, bless you, the Lord will bless you. But yeah. giving up something, that's tough to do.
Yeah, that is. I don't like relish in it, but I will say
this was your last Sunday.
Yeah, right? I'm finished actually. Yeah, so this is why we're doing this podcast, is to announce that Pastor Joel's taking over. I don't relish in that, but I will say in Luke we've been on a run of some difficult passages,
yeah.
and so I've gotten more used to it because it feels like every week I'm standing up for the last 2 months going, all right, we got a tough one this week. But if you look. What I do enjoy doing is taking these passages and looking at them. And, you know, there's some pastors, well, and I'm not talking about bad about anybody. There's some people that they hear that and they're like, that's right, let's get up there and get after the people. They need to be better. Mm-hmm. I don't see it that way. I don't read the passage that way. I read that passage as Jesus loves us. And because he loves us, he's calling us to something better. It seems harder,
yeah.
but everything that is worthwhile is hard. Everything that is worthwhile takes sacrifice. Everything that is worthwhile is challenging, right? And so I see that passage. I see Jesus, like, to our church. I love our church, and I want our church to be fully formed disciples of Jesus. Well, if we don't talk about these things and work through these things and understand what do these passages mean for me, then we're doing a disservice to our congregation, our people that we love, we say we love, right? And so so I don't enjoy these passages, but I do enjoy digging into them deeper and trying to understand, why does God say, why does Jesus say these things? What is the purpose of this? And that's always the goal, is that we as, not just our church, but me and myself would go, okay, God, what does this look like practically mm-hmm. for me? And how does this take me deeper and grow my relationship with you? And, you know, even in the one we mentioned where he says, you know, I've got to be first above all things. And, like, to put Jesus before your family is to love your family.
Yeah.
And we don't see it that way or think about it that way, but Jesus always wants what's best for you. What's best for you may be hard, right? What's best for you may not be, you know, blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing. Sometimes what is best for you is some is suffering or something difficult, and not that we want that, but sometimes that is what we is grows us. Yeah. And so, I don't know, just walking through and understanding why that's there and how it's meant to develop us and grow us and transform us and make us disciples. So
kind of piggybacking off of that, figuratively, Jesus was telling us, hey, hate your mother, hate your father, yeah. hate your sister, hate yeah. your brother, hate your children. In fact, hate yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're going through that process, and really it's about growth, we're growing in that process. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that to someone who's maybe a non-Christian or some loved ones, and they see this transformation taking place in your life? Mm-hmm. You're growing. And they're asking, well, what's going on with you? You're not going to tell them, well, the Bible tells me to hate you, so that's how I'm growing.
Yeah.
How do you explain that transformation that's taking place in your life without offending that person, mm-hmm. but still following the scriptures?
Well, so like you said, he says, hate these things. And what he means there isn't hate, but it's I'm first so much so that these things are a distant second. And so even in the Old Testament, he's quoting, really referencing Genesis 29, and whereas this idea of to love one more than another is to love one and hate the other. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he's taught. He's not saying hate your family, but it's like anything in life where, you know, okay, use this analogy. You start working out and getting in shape, and, you know, so you're going to the gym and you're coming to the gym. Well, you have buddies and friends who, you know, they're not doing that. And so you're choosing this thing that's important to you and to follow that. And they can sometimes have a hard time understanding your commitment to this new thing. And they're not going to see it until, you know, 6 months down the line, you start getting fit, getting more in shape. They're like, oh man, you know, it's the same, it's kind of the same idea where you're choosing this thing and people don't always understand, because to choose Jesus over your family sometimes means your family is going to be in conflict with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the idea, or I guess the way I would say, is you do it lovingly. You try to explain, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm following this direction. Ultimately, I think this is best for me. Ultimately, I think it's best for you. And we try to explain, Jesus is, he's my Lord and he's my God. And so therefore I go this direction. I follow him. And the hope is, like in the gym, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, they see that and they see the results and the fruit of it. And they understand, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
And seeing that fruit, that might even draw them to him.
Yeah, it's a testimony.
Yeah.
Is what it is ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So, and also in your sermon, you mentioned bearing our cross is death to anything that doesn't look mm-hmm. like Christ.
Yeah.
Or basically death to ourselves. How do you tell when something needs to die? Because you could just go through life and thinking everything's great. You know, I can do this. I can eat donuts. Using the gym analogy, I can eat donuts. I'm not getting bigger. I'm not getting fatter.
Right.
But not seeing what's happening on the inside.
Right, yeah.
So how do you...
First of all, take it easy on the donuts.
Okay? Or coffee.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Whoa, hey. Come on, man.
Well, how can you tell when something in you needs to die? Especially if it's not so tangible or so visible.
Mm-hmm. First off, I think, if I can be as bold as to say this, I think we know.
We just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times there's things like the donut. We know we shouldn't be putting that in our body. You know, we should, or not, you know, in moderation, right? In moderation. We know. So that's one thing I would say. Secondly, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so there's Holy Spirit speaking to us and guiding us and convicting us, right? What Jesus say? The Holy Spirit will convict you. So we know that. Another way is we've got to know the word. We've got to understand what Jesus says about these things. And that's really ultimately, like, I'm talking about, how do we know that when Jesus says, hate your mother, brother, father, that he doesn't mean that? Because one, we know the broader context of it, but two, we also know what else he says in the Bible, where he says, they ask him, we mentioned this Sunday, but they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Then they ask him, well, what about your enemies, right? Later on, what do I do with my enemies? And he says, do good for them, bless them, you know, bless those who persecute you. More than once he says that. And so that's how we know, like, he's not talking hatred over here, but that's how we know we're supposed to act towards our enemies, because we know the word. we understand the word, right? And another part of that, being in church and sitting under teaching and preaching, being in a community group and being around other believers, that you're working through some of these things together and talking through some of these things together. And
shameless plug for community group.
Shameless plug. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, coming up soon. Yeah, September 10th, actually. Join a group. So you want to be around other believers where you're walking through these things, and you want to be in a gospel-centered church where they're teaching what Jesus says and things like that. And so, not things like that, they're teaching what Jesus says, yeah. Right? So that you can understand what God feels about, how he thinks about things and his desires and designs for things. But first and foremost, it's we need to know the scriptures, because otherwise you can sit in a church that's teaching something and may not be biblical, and you just take it for what the preacher says, and we're being misled or misguided, you know? And so ultimately it's our responsibility to know the word and study the word. And so I'd say study the word. Listen to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, conviction of the Holy Spirit, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay.
So,
well, all right, guys, thanks for joining us today. I want to encourage you to listen to this powerful message. You can go to YouTube and check it out. You can also look at it on Facebook as well as online. And as always, as mentioned on Sunday, being a disciple is really the mission and the core values of the church, of knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. And we want to make a difference in your life, and we hope this podcast can do that for you. Have a blessed week, and we will see you on Sunday.